Hello, this is Carrie, Ben's behind-the-scenes audio producer. I wanted to give you a quick warning that Ben accidentally used the wrong microphone for today's episode. We promise that you're going to still love the guest, though thought it best to let you know that Ben's deep, rich voice of God is not present in the episode you are about to listen to. We are certain you will enjoy it anyway.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and if you dig medicine, healing your body, and using cutting-edge tools and technology to do so, you're going to dig today's episode. But speaking of healing the body, I want to start by telling you about this stuff called chaga. Chaga is a mushroom that actually contains nature's highest amounts of what's called superoxide dismutase. That's the most potent antioxidant enzyme that your body makes. So because of that, it increases things like cancer cell activity, or anti-cancer cell activity, rather, what's called NK cell activity. And that's a major component of your innate immune system. And it increases that by up to 300%. It fights bacteria, it fights viruses, it fights inflammatory disease. You can chop this stuff off of a tree, or you can order it in this little packet. Now, you can get wild-crafted chaga combined with Eleuthero, which is this adaptogenic herb that helps your body with hormone balance, mint, which makes it oh so tasty, and rosehip, which helps to decrease stress. So these little chaga packets you can get from a company called Four Sigmatic Foods. You can get a 15% discount when you go to foursigmatic.com, that's foursigmatic.com/Greenfield, and you use discount code Ben Greenfield to save 15%. What I like to do with this chaga is I simply rip it open and dump it into a cup of coffee. Speaking of which, this podcast is also brought to you by the coffee you can dump said chaga into, Chimera Coffee, which is coffee that's jam-packed with premium-grade nootropics, which are like natural smart drugs. We've got MMA artists, aerialists, professional CrossFit athletes, bodybuilders, biohackers, folks all over the planet are using this as their coffee of choice because it has things like alpha-GPC, taurine, L-theanine, DMAE, and all sorts of other compounds in it that allow it to not just spin the dials in your brain, but also actually make coffee even healthier for you. And it tastes good. It's delicious. It's bold. You can get some. And you can get a discount code on it if you go to chimeracoffee.com. That's K-I-M-E-R-A-K-O-F-F-E-E.com. Chimeracoffee.com, and use code Ben to get 10% off. And then finally, as if coffee and chaga wasn't enough superfood to dump into your body, you can also get every single component that you need to get you through the whole day from a micronutrient standpoint from this gently dried superfood powder called Organifi Green Juice. Unlike most of the other green juices that are out there, it's not heat dried, it's not heat oxidized, and they also infuse it with some really delicious coconut flavoring as well as ashwagandha, which has been shown to both decrease cortisol and increase testosterone. So it's called Organifi Green Juice. You can get it in a packet, you can get it in a powder. It's organic, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, everything-free, but it actually tastes good, not like cardboard. You can get this at bengreenfieldfitness.com/fitlife. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/fitlife. And if you use discount code BEN, you'll get 20% off. So that's bengreenfieldfitness.com/fitlife and use discount code BEN to get 20% off. And now let's jump into today's episode with a mysterious physician who I guarantee you've probably never heard of, but who you're going to really love. In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show,
what really puts structure in water is putting an infrared glass on your filter, and that restructures the water into hexagonal shape crystals, which are actually good for detoxification.
You would have often heard people in the past telling you that one particular brand of Tylenol or one particular brand of ibuprofen works better than the other for them. This is the reason. Every brand is different.
So the risk when you have gout tends to increase the risk of diabetes type 2 and cardiovascular events.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power, speed, mobility, balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and occasionally I come across an individual who flies under the radar and who I get completely almost flabbergasted that nobody's actually heard about in terms of the people who I run around with in my little biohacking community. And today's podcast guest happens to be one of those individuals. He's based out of the UK. And his name is Raj Basu. And he actually describes himself as a pharmacist, a homeopath, a homotoxicologist, bioresonance, bioenergetic, and bioregulatory medical practitioner, kinesiologist, CINAR, light and sound therapist. Obviously a bit of an unconventional physician. So he's based out of London, and he's actually an underground go-to source there for a huge number of professional athletes and executives and CEOs, celebrities, and a lot of other folks who have kind of tried everything to fix frustrating issues ranging from cancer to chronic joint pain to nagging injuries. But he's very rarely someone who you will see, say, on a podcast or written about in the popular media, almost like a closely guarded secret whose mind we get to delve into today. And he has some really intriguing healing philosophies and biohacks and medical methods and crazy machines and gadgets that he uses, techniques that might seem at first glance pretty woo-woo, but that we're going to delve into in detail today. And I think you're going to find our discussion pretty fascinating. Raj is technically an integrative medicine specialist, but he also focuses on holistic, herbal, homeopathic, and naturopathic solutions and incorporates what he describes as the best of conventional medicine with natural medicine products and philosophies. I'm super stoked about picking this guy's brain, so to speak. So Raj, welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
Hi, Ben. Lovely to be on your show, actually, finally. How are you?
You know, I'm good. I actually just got back from London. I'm kicking myself that you and I weren't actually able to connect when I was over there because I really wanted to swing by your office and see all your special tools and gadgets and everything that you're up to over there. But we're just going to have to do so virtually over audio today. So
until next time, and come and visit us.
Yeah, trust me. I'm planning on it, but I'm curious about what your story is. I mean, how'd you come to study all this? How'd you come to actually become what you are, a pharmacist, homeopath, homotoxicologist, bioresonance medicine practitioner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
So this journey started a few years after I became a pharmacist. My sister was very unwell. She had breast cancer. This is going back many, many years, and I thought as a pharmacist they're going to do chemotherapy and they'll try and sort her out. However, she ended up having lots of chemotherapy, lots of radiotherapy, a full mastectomy, reconstruction, being a guinea pig on various drug trials, and eventually had lots of complications and was sent home finally to die. I got a bit alarmed at what was happening, and because I was trained as a pharmacist, it was sort of very difficult to understand what I should be doing next. I decided to pursue other non-conventional ways of treatment, and anyone who had ever come into my pharmacy who had ever said, go to the, I went to this person and got better, or I did this, or I did that. Remember, this is a time when internet wasn't really available. So it wasn't a question of just Googling something and finding something.
Right.
It's a question of word of mouth and actually talking to people and finding out. And everyone is cagey about practitioners. So it's not an easy thing to find a practitioner who's actually going to do this work. I ended up going to the Oasis of Hope Clinic in Mexico. So I literally traveled by day, to a country, got what I wanted, and came back within a day or two. I traveled to Mexico, went to the Hippocrates Institute in America, the Schachter Clinic. I went to various other places in New York. I went to Sri Lanka. I went to India. I went to Germany. I went to Austria. I went to various places, Malaysia, trying to find anything that anyone had ever told me that would work for cancer. We were using very interesting compounds that we could get our hands on at the time, which are natural products. We changed our diet. We did the whole juicing thing, the Gerson diet. And you know what? My sister actually lived 5 years. Now, this is, don't forget, she had breast cancer, which had metastasized to her liver and her pancreas and other areas. So she was only to live by the conventional doctors, but she actually lived 5 years and lived a fantastic life. I mean, we didn't have all the stuff we have now. And in the process, I learned so many therapies that I thought to myself, surely someone must practice this in the UK or close by so that I don't have to travel all around the world to find this information, because it was very difficult as a pharmacist for me to travel around and get all these products was quite costly, quite difficult. I had to look for information, and at least I was trained to look for this information. Most people would not even be able to go to half the practitioners that I ever went and saw. I learned so much that I decided that I would be the person who would do all those therapies and other therapies and make life easy for most people.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And, you know, obviously we live in a day and age where there are a lot of cancer therapies, some that I think have been proven dangerous and ineffective, some that may work, but that don't have a lot of clinical studies behind them. When a guy like you, who at that point was a pharmacist, is looking into all these different remedies for your sister, how are you actually kind of filtering things? Like, how are you deciding what was complete woo-woo and what actually worked? Were you just throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticked?
No, initially you have to, I even managed to take her to a sort of a healer, but then I refrained from doing that after I saw, I did see a lot of sort of charlatans around in the process. And I think as you go through the process and you're in a survival mode, you can actually very clearly filter out those that you think are going to be time wasters. And actually, I ended up seeing the right people and using the right product. So, you know, high dose of vitamin C in intravenous form, ASIAC, and lots of other things which were around at the time. I mean, things have moved on. So you're talking about a time when B17 apricot kernels were not allowed in the UK. You know, I mean, you're talking about hardly anything was allowed at the time, and getting things in or finding these things was almost impossible. But I did use my analytical mind and say, okay, let's look at any, I mean, these people don't have money to throw at a clinical trial. So there wouldn't be any clinical trials for this because they have nothing to benefit from it. And they don't have someone who's given them $1 million to do this trial. Nowadays, there are some people who are doing interesting trials like PNC27 and others who have got some trials and who are on TED Talks and other things, and it's easier to find them. But, I mean, what I did was actually looked at whether that product was actually going to have any study done. And we used to use microfiche and used to use all the sort of medical sites to actually find information by using microfiche and then using the British Library to import the papers. There's no Google. I still remember that. It was a hard task. But we tried whatever we could.
And you mentioned a couple things. You mentioned like high dose vitamin C. What was the other thing that you just talked about? The
ACEC was another one. This is by a nurse called Rene. So she was based in Canada, and all the specialist medical oncologists who couldn't deal with cancer cases used to send her these cases, and she would actually treat quite a lot of patients and get them better. So she actually had reunion parties of cancer patients going back years and years later and meeting other cancer patients. I'm talking about busloads. So she was very successful at treating cancers where conventional medicine had failed.
And what was her method? What was she using?
She was using a mixture of herbs. She called it ACEC.
How are you spelling that?
That's E-double-S-I-A-C.
E-double-S-A-I-C.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of them available on the internet, but they don't actually have the original formula that she had. I think that original formula died with her. So
how'd you find her?
Oh, just through word of mouth, hearing other people who had treated the cancer using ACEC. And so I flew over to Canada and got what I could from her.
Okay, so yeah, I'm looking at her website. Was this Renee Kesa? Is this who you're talking about?
Yes.
And this ACEC, it's like an herbal remedy tea comprised of, what's it have in it?
It's got various herbs in it. It definitely had burdock and other herbs in it. And you had to make it in a stainless steel, kitchenware. And it had to be made in a certain way. It had to be drunk. We then did something called budwig, which is cottage cheese with flaxseed oil, which was, so you're looking at very primitive, old remedies at the time. All the stuff we have now wasn't there then, you know. Nowadays, people are using GC-MAF, they're using PNC-27, they're using various doses of vitamin C and other vitamins to help with their condition.
Now, I've talked a few times on podcasts before, and I don't want to spend our entire discussion talking about cancer because I want to delve into some of these other things that you do regarding soft tissue injuries and things of that nature. But this whole idea behind the metabolic theory of cancer, and there's even this book called Tripping Over the Truth that goes into how, you know, one of the issues with cancer is simply a cell being induced into burning sugar, even in the presence of adequate oxygen, like engaging in anaerobic energy production, the production of lactic acid, and how that can cause a lot of tumor cell growth. Do you think that a lot of these therapies like vitamin C therapy or like this ACEC herb therapy or any of these others are inducing a cell to operate in a state of ketosis or shutting down glycolysis or lactic acid production in a cell, and that's the way that they're working? Or is there some other method via which they're stopping tumor growth?
I think most of them are working via the lactic acid pathways, and they were successful in some people. Remember, cancer is different in anyone. Now, you can have, for example, a child in a pregnant woman grows as a result of hypoxia. So the growth of the fetus doesn't happen necessarily due to nutrients. It's happening as a result of low oxygen. Now, we have noticed from machines which are sort of hypoxic machines that they actually cause angiogenesis, which means they bring the blood circulation, they increase the blood circulation to a particular organ or particular tissue, which is what cancer does. Hence, low oxygen levels are quite prominent within most cancer patients, and they actually need good oxygenation through those cells. And so that is quite an important thing, and that will become part of the future of medicine in relation to cancer.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that ketosis seems to be becoming such an effective therapy for many forms of cancer that are simply relying upon glycolytic energy production for cancer growth. So it's really fascinating. And by the way, for those of you listening in, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Raj, that's bengreenfieldfitness.com/RAJ, as Raj and I talk about many of these things, I'll put some resources for you in the show notes. So, Raj, returning to your story, at that point, you were just a pharmacist, or were you like a trained physician, or did you kind of begin to delve into higher education along the way after helping your sister?
I was a pharmacist at the time, and I had an interest in homeopathy and homotoxicology. So I was already pursuing an interest in that. And I had to continue studying while we were treating her and running around and taking care of her. So it was quite an interesting combination. I then, on the process, found various other therapies and other things that I trained in over time and after she passed away to learn those therapies and some new therapies that I've created myself as a result of combination of various other therapies to make life simple and easy. The whole thing is about educating a patient. If the patient understands what their condition is and you give them the right tools to understand what will get rid of that condition, whether it's diet, exercise, or medication, or whether they're taking supplements or they're taking herbs, then the patient will succeed because they will understand their problem and they will start to adhere to that regime that you have prescribed to them.
So from what I understand, a lot of celebrities or CEOs or athletes will come to work with you. And while I know that you have to keep some of your actual clients pretty confidential, for example, I know you're friends with Jamie Oliver, who's like a really popular, chef that I know a lot of people know from television. How'd you come to know Jamie Oliver and what's your relationship with him like?
So Jamie is a fantastic individual. I mean, Jamie must have heard about me from two or three people, and he turned up at my clinic to see what I did and understand what I was doing. I remember him telling me later that he hadn't slept because he was fascinated with what he saw when he came here. Now, that coming from a person like Jamie is quite nice. But Jamie is a fantastic individual. I mean, he's a good person looking to do some good in a wide range of, over a large population rather than looking at small pockets. I mean, his whole quest for getting little children to eat better in schools and eat better at home and, trying to get a sugar tax on sugar so that, and he's been very successful at doing that. He's been leading the campaign for quite some time now. He's a man who's got the interest of the nation at heart. So he's not looking at little things like, okay, let's just deal with people with autoimmune disease. He's looking at what is the major impact, in terms of diet to health and trying to make it, put a sugar tax on sugar so that one would have to, that would, in the hope that it would decrease the sales of sugary fizzy drinks and sugar in adding sugar in other things. Which will in turn help the population. I mean, we're talking about a population where diabetes type 2 is very prominent. Obesity is becoming a big issue. Sugar is related to lots of things. For example, gout. Traditionally, gout has always been thought to be as a result of eating red meat, good life, and drinking a lot of port. But actually, it's got more to do with fructose and its combination with glucose than anything else.
Really? I want to delve into that a little bit more with gout because I've actually done 23andMe genetic testing and I've personally seen that I have a higher, I have something like a 4 to 5 times higher than normal level for risk for type 2 diabetes and also for gout. And you're saying that gout is related to fructose and glucose metabolism?
Yeah, so fructose is 99% metabolized by the liver, unlike glucose, which can be metabolized anywhere in your brain, in your muscles and anywhere. So fructose, when it goes to the liver, it's metabolized in the liver. And if it's combined with glucose, this adds to the effect of the fructose. It requires the cells to require a lot more energy to burn. And so it's literally as if the cells are dying due to lack of oxygen. And so you've got a higher load of uric acid being produced, which would normally be chucked out by the kidney. Now, if your kidney function isn't so good, or your circulation is slow, or the level of uric acid is so high that even the kidneys are not filtering it, it'll go into your circulation. And as you go to sleep in the evening, your circulation tends to slow down in your extreme ends, and your crystals start to crystallize and you get gout. Most people think of gout as just coming in your toe. It actually can come in your shoulders. It can come in your hips. It can come in your elbows. It can come in your little fingers. The smaller joints, it actually can come out in most joints. And most people actually don't know that they've got gout, which is quite worrying.
So what you're saying is when people struggle with like chronic joint pain, one of the things that they should do is actually audit their diet for fructose.
Yes, they should. If they're doing any functional testing, they should look at the uric acid. And if the levels of uric acid are high, don't forget, when you have a gout attack, your uric acid just before the gout attack is higher. And as you have the gout attack, the uric acid falls slightly. So your uric acid levels are actually quite high when you've got a gout attack, before a gout attack. So, you know, there should be a test which should be done. Don't forget, uric acid should be the new cholesterol. It's actually the one which points towards cardiovascular disease and in some cases can point towards diabetes. So the risk when you have gout tends to increase the risk of diabetes type 2 and cardiovascular events.
Well, usually it's meat, like red meat, like beef and pork and lamb and seafood and poultry, not fructose, that's recommended to reduce gout because those are primary sources of purines, which supposedly increase uric acid. And you're saying that fructose is a bigger issue?
Yeah. So I remember speaking to a rheumatologist once, a very renowned rheumatologist in the UK. And I said to him, the advice you normally give to gout patients is, okay, get off your red meat and your port and start eating vegetarian food and vegetarian proteins because they contain much less purines, because their whole base is based around purines. But I asked him, what does a vegetarian person then do? Because vegetarians obviously get gout as well. And what is interesting is that when you normally have an attack of gout, a gout sufferer would tend to eat more carbohydrates and have sugary drinks in the pursuit of just trying to keep a week away from eating meat or eating red meat or drinking alcohol. And they normally notice that the attacks start to be exacerbated or they have repeated attacks. And so fructose is the real, real key there. So 90% of the problem is caused by fructose. 10% can be tipped over by the purines in your diet. So 10 to 15% of gout is tipped by your purines, which you're taking in your diet. But majority of it is being caused by fructose deregulating the system.
So do you avoid fruit?
If you have gout, yeah, you should avoid fruit. You should avoid certain vegetables which have a high fructose component, and you will feel better almost instantly. Most people who go off on a diet like this tend to never have a gout attack again.
What about lower glycemic index fruits like blueberries, for example?
Yeah, blueberries will be fine. Now, there's another aspect of gout which is not known to the Western world. Well, it's hardly known. So if you have something which is sour tasting, for example, you have tamarind as a chutney or as a sauce, this has a sour taste. When you eat it, it makes your tissues in your body more acidic. This will almost immediately cause a gout attack. So the person's not put his food in the mouth, not even digested it, and his toe will start to throb. This is because sourness, through the autonomic nervous receptors in your mouth, which are very sensitive, sends impulses to joints to say, here comes acid in its final form. And it acidifies the tissue. So even if you have fruits which were sour when they were not ripe, for example, pineapple or mango, which were sour and then became ripe and became sweet, that will still cause the same problem. That will acidify the body. And that goes not only for gout, but for any arthritis or joint pain. So limiting sour fruits and foods is a very important part of arthritis and gout.
Now, when you talk about arthritis and gout, would you also say that when it comes to things like athletic recovery or just basic muscle soreness from workouts, that one should be careful with high consumption of sour foods and fructose when in that state?
Yes, definitely. Because fructose is more for gout, but high consumption of sour foods and fruits, yes, definitely. Because that's going to acidify your body. That's what causes stiffness. So if someone wakes up in the morning and they're stiff in their joints, that's because the tissues are very acidic. And there's a point we press on the right leg between the groin and the knee. And we press this point a few times and it releases the acidity from the joints. And immediately, Ben, I'm talking about within seconds, you free your joints. So even after a really serious workout or a cycling race of 60 miles or whatever, you can walk and you're feeling fantastic.
Wait, where are you pressing?
You are pressing. So you lay on your right-hand side, right leg straight, left leg bent, And between the groin and the knee, you divide that area into three zones. And you put pressure with your hand or leg. So you put enough pressure to stop your circulation for a split second and move to the next point and then the third point and do that a few times. And you will notice all the acid from your joints will disappear and you'll start to feel better.
About a third of the way. Okay, yeah. I'm feeling that section right now that you're describing. Do you have, to put a picture for people in the show notes, do you have like a picture of this anywhere or like a diagram of this specific area in the leg anywhere?
Yeah, I'll get to you a diagram. Okay.
Send it over to me and I'll put it in the show notes because you could work on that area yourself with like a foam roller or a massage ball or something like that.
Yeah. But you see, with the foam roller, you're going up and down. With this one, you want to go from the groin down to the knee and then get back to the groin area and down. So you want to press downwards rather than pressing up and down.
Why is that?
Because it affects the circulation in a certain way. This is the new method that I've developed called the Raj method. And through this method, you're stopping the circulation for a split second in a different part of your body, which then sends blood back to a different organ or system, which corrects it immediately. So, for example, with your acid point here on your leg, if you are pressing that point, you're stopping the circulation through your femoral artery going into your legs. And instead, that is sending blood to the left kidney, which churns out more acid out of your body and therefore makes you less acidic and more balanced or more towards an alkaline state, which means your tissues release the acid and you don't feel stiff and all your joints stop hurting.
Interesting. Interesting. So when it comes to reducing fructose, sour foods, I know that you're friends with Jamie Oliver and both of you guys see eye to eye on sugar. What does a typical day of eating look like for you?
So I start in the morning with having eggs. I'm a big fan of having grass-fed laid hen's eggs. So I just have sort of scrambled eggs with grass-fed butter. I emphasize on grass-fed butter because the farming methods in the UK can be quite diabolical, and we're eating foods from chicken which have been fed on corn or on soya, which is terrible. The result is not going to be great. It's a bit like if you have a diesel car and you fill it with petrol, it's not going to run very well. And so, you know, if you have hens or cows which are being fed the wrong diet, they're not going to produce the right end product, if you see what I mean. The products are going to have different amount of omega fats and the composition is going to be slightly different. For example, when we take milk from different supermarkets in the UK and we heat it, there's only one supermarket which has got milk which is going to give you a nice yellow buttery type of look when it's heated. And that means it's full of CLA, which means the cows were actually fed on grass. So even though I'm taking organic milk from all these supermarkets, not all those supermarkets use grass-fed cows. Some of those cows are being fed on organic soya or organic corn or whatever.
So the way to find out if a cow has truly been grass-fed is you get the milk and you heat it, and if the milk turns yellow, that shows that it has the conjugated linoleic acid present that would indicate that cow has been grass-fed?
Yes.
What temperature are you heating it to?
Just boiling it. Just boil the milk as you'd boil it for, you know, a child. I started to notice these things when I had a child, you know, and I was heating the milk and trying to see what was happening, and you would see a difference with all these milks.
Interesting. Okay, so what about for lunch? What do you eat for lunch?
So I have eggs sometimes for breakfast, you know, scrambled omelette or a soft-boiled egg so that I don't oxidize the egg for breakfast. And for lunch, I tend to have a salad with lots of greens, so baby spinach, you know, rocket, avocado. I love avocado. And I usually have a source of protein, either fish or chicken, which has been grilled or which has been cooked in a tandoor. Fantastic. Really tasty. And we put some good quality, unfiltered, first-pressed olive oil. So olive oil in your country, for example, where you are in the States, is quite adulterated, unfortunately. If you read some Google reports from what is the authority which deals with food in the States? What is it called?
The FDA?
I think it's the FDA, yeah. They did an analysis of lots of olive oils, and I think you can Google it. and they only found two brands in the States which were actual olive oil. The rest were adulterated. It's quite a similar situation in the
UK. So you mean they're part olive oil and part a bunch of other stuff?
Yeah, vegetable oils and other things. Yeah, so you've got to be careful. And so we use good unfiltered first press. First press means it's the first pressing when they actually put the olives together and press for the first time. That means the quality of oils and omega-3 ratios is fantastic.
Okay, gotcha. So over here in the U.S., can we get that type of olive oil?
I'm sure you do, but I'm sure you have to look for it because all those sort of oils come from the Mediterranean region. So it has to ship to you.
Okay. I'm part of this olive oil club where on a quarterly basis, I get 3 bottles of olive oil shipped to me from a different area of the country. And usually when it comes, it's in these dark glass bottles. And when you pour it out, it's like green or yellow. Sometimes you can barely see through it. So I'm pretty sure it's the good stuff.
It's the good stuff. Yes. That's what you and all the listeners that listen to your podcast should be using is sort of a greenish tint olive oil.
Okay. Got it. So, and then what about for like snacking? Do you do much snacking? Are you one of those guys who spends a long period of time between meals or what's your approach as far as that goes?
Ben, I hardly get time to snack because I'm with patients most of the time. But if I was to snack, I would have sort of a nut butters, with a bit of sort of an apple. It tastes amazing. I would have some coconut, fresh coconut. Now, there's something interesting with fresh.
Wait, you have olive oil with apple. I thought you were avoiding fructose, though.
No. I don't avoid fructose totally. I have a little bit of fructose.
Okay.
But I don't go OTT. But someone who has gout should avoid fructose at all costs. Yes. Okay.
Gotcha. And obviously, it's probably a bigger issue if it's fructose from like sports drinks and packaged products than from, say, a little bit of apple with nut butter. And then what about for dinner?
For dinner, I usually, again, have some lamb or fish or some chicken with some steamed vegetables or a stir fry. Occasionally, I would eat a curry with a little bit of basmati rice. Now, very interestingly with rice is very high in arsenicum because it's grown in Pakistan, Vietnam, and India, where the water table is contaminated with arsenicum. So you should always see a recall of rice milk from time to time. So you want to have rice which comes from an area called Dehradun, which is on a hill, and so it's further away from the water table, and that rice is much nicer, probably the best rice in the world.
What, how do you spell that, that area that it's from?
Dehra, D-E-H-R-A-D-U-N.
Dehradun. Okay, so if you get it from Dehradun, it's going to be lower in arsenic, and the rest of the arsenic from or the rest of the rice from around the world has higher levels of arsenic?
Yes, there's a big problem. That's why rice milk.
Can you find rice from Dehradun just like in the average grocery store?
In the UK, yes. I think you guys are going to have a bit of a problem, but I'm sure someone will find it.
I'll look on Amazon. I'll see if you can find it on Amazon for people who are listening in, or I'll find a source and put it in the show notes. So obviously, I don't want to just talk to you about food today because you do a ton of different protocols. Like you mentioned, for example, homotoxicology. What's homotoxicology?
Homotoxicology is taking a homeopathic remedy and portraitizing it in different strengths and then giving it to a person. So it's literally following the principles that you would follow in conventional medicine. So you would give different doses together to a person and try and help them recover from the illness much quicker, rather than giving a classical homeopathic remedy, which would mean that you're giving one strength and hoping that the magic will happen.
Is there actual research behind this that it works?
Yes. The companies who produce homotoxicology remedies do quite a lot of research. They tend to do a lot of research within the sprain, strain, injury sort of market. But there's some research in the dizziness market, in the tinnitus market. So when you Google homotoxicology, it bridges the gap between classical homeopathy and conventional medicine. So it's a nice place to sit.
Where was this first introduced or invented, this process of homotoxicology?
In Germany.
Okay, gotcha. So basically, is it very, very similar to homeopathy?
It's similar in some ways, but it means you're putting a group of complex homeopathic remedies together. And you can actually prescribe it based on symptoms if you want, taking a whole aggregate of symptoms and then saying, okay, this remedy will actually do a job which will far exceed a simple homeopathic classical remedy. Because disease is much more multifaceted these days. There's many factors to a disease rather than just one factor at the time when homeopathy first started. So homeopathy works, don't get me wrong, but I find homotoxicology works better.
Okay, gotcha. So how did you learn about homotoxicology? Did you have to go through a formal training for it?
I had to go through formal training, but training is like anything. It teaches you the basics. What you learn is when you really start practicing. And through a whole host of, I mean, we have about 10,000 clients. So we're sat on the third floor of a building, no advertisement. All our clients come through word of mouth. So we've built 10,000 clients through a referral system where someone gets better and then refers the next person on to us.
Okay. And
you can see that homotoxicology works because that's our predominant. I would say 60% of what we do is homotoxicology.
So are you're basically giving people like weak dilutions of toxins? Is that how it works? If it's similar to homeopathy?
It tends to be dilutions which are more in the range where you can actually have a feasible amount of product in the compound. So it's not like homeopathy where you sometimes bypass Avogadro's constant, which means there's no particle left in that remedy, but it works by memory in the water. And there's been a little bit of research which has come out recently about water memory.
So I've seen this. Can you actually explain this? Because I just recently, this was a couple weeks ago that I read this study about water and how I believe when you mix it with certain homeopathic remedies, that once those homeopathic remedies are diluted out of the water still retains the healing properties of those remedies, which sounds totally woo-woo.
Can you
explain that in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, it's hard to explain because no one actually knows how that actually works. What is interesting is that we know that water has memory. Now, for example, I've taken a homeopathic remedy called chlorophyll in the potency 200. So there should be no particle of chlorophyll physically left, according to Avogadro's constant, in that remedy. I have then put that remedy into some water and give two plants from the same store, same height, and added one lot of chlorophyll to one water and one plant and just given water to the other plant. I've noticed that the plant where I was giving chlorophyll actually grew much larger than the other plant which wasn't given chlorophyll. I then reversed my giving of chlorophyll to the other plant and the other one started growing faster. So it is quite interesting. Plants don't have any placebo effect. I'm not saying I did a clinical trial. What I'm saying is that it shows me that even when I use it on animals like dogs, which don't have a placebo action, it's not like a dog knows you're going to give it a homeopathic remedy. These things work.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think part of it probably has to do with Dr. Gerald Pollack's research at University of Washington, where he talks about the lattice-like, the crystalline structure of water, and how water can actually form structures that go above and beyond just H2O bonding. It's one of the reasons that, for example, in my own home, I have like a series of like glass beads. It's like a vortex that wraps around my water pipe. So after water comes out of my well, it's actually restructured. And so it forms these crystalline structures that allow it to more adequately, for example, enter into soft tissue in the body and hydrate the body. But it really is interesting, these studies that I've seen. I was recently reading another book with a guy I'm going to get on a podcast about sound therapy and sound healing, where he talks about how water, when you put certain homeopathic remedies in it, can retain some of the healing properties of those remedies. So there's a book that I'm aware of, and it's on my list of books to read. I don't know if you've heard of it before. And I can link to it in the show notes, but it's called Homotoxicology, Illness and Healing Through Anti-Homotoxic Therapy. Yes. Have you seen this one before?
I have seen that, yes.
Okay, cool. So cool.
It's a very good
awesome.
One. In fact, when you're coming back to the vortexing of water, that energizes the water. What really puts structure in water is putting an infrared glass on your filter, and that restructures the water into hexagonal shape. Crystals, which are actually good for detoxification. So when you look at the work of Emoto and how he sent a lot of water samples to Stanford University after he said various things to it, you can see the different crystalline structures. You can also look at cybernetics, which is a way of pattern forming with various things and sound, which shows you what Mozart would do with his music to sand particles which are on a plate. And you can see what happens when you play Pink Floyd, for example. Nothing
wrong with Pink Floyd. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. A lot of people laugh at this stuff, but it's true. Now, one of the things that I do, Raj, is I actually have an infrared sauna. And so because the body is comprised of water, you can actually get the same effect on the water in your body if you just drink water that's been structured and then use something like an infrared sauna or an infrared treatment. You don't necessarily have to expose the water to infrared light before you drink it. You can literally take the water that's already in your body and do something like infrared sauna, which is why I think that's one thing that everybody who's really wanting to pursue like anti-aging and longevity should do is get something like an infrared sauna or hunt down a way to expose their body to infrared. And I think that if you combine drinking good filtered structured water with infrared therapy, it's one of the best things you can do for your body's hydration levels.
Yes. Even when people talk about drinking water in the gyms, this is a very important point. In the UK, for example, we only have 3 or 4 structured waters which are found in bottled water. So everyone sits there and drinks a particular bottled water which comes from France or Germany or somewhere or the other because it's got a lot of publicity. It doesn't mean it's the best water. Most of these people are often peeing the water very quickly, which means the body doesn't want to hold the water. It's very acidic. So water needs to be of a certain state. It needs to be structured. For example, it's a shame that some of these waters are put in bottled water. Fiji is a great water. It's a shame that they put it in a plastic bottle. Aqua chai, which comes from Panama, the Amazonian forest, which is in a BPA-free bottle, that's pretty good water as well. You know, these two waters are probably the leading waters to drink. You feel much more hydrated. You feel like you're concentrating better.
Okay, so which two brands did you say?
Fiji. Fiji is a great brand.
Yeah, okay. I'm familiar with Fiji.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
And the other one is Aqua Chai, which is spelled A-Q-U-A-C-A-I. That's quite a good water. It's a bit bitter. Somebody will find it bitter, but I like it. It's a water which comes from Panama, from the Amazonian forest. Okay. And it's in a BPA-free bottle, which is pretty good.
Okay, cool. I'll try and hunt down resources for this for everybody in the show notes. And by the way, I did find that most of the certified organic basmati rice is actually from this Dehradun area that you talked about. Yes. And I think there are a few sources on Amazon where folks can find this. So I'll hunt down some links for people who are listening in. Now, Raj, there are some other things that you do that I wanted to get into. For example, sound therapy. Can you describe to me what sound therapy is and how you use that?
So we use sound therapy using tuning forks. So we use tuning forks which are sort of made up to a spec of a certain frequency. And we work off-body and we work on the chakras. Are you familiar with the chakras? We then work on the meridians with them. Now, I can tell you that with sound therapy, you can take away 90% of pain in 5 minutes. I mean, I've even dealt with someone who's got a fentanyl patch on their body, is a cancer patient, and was still having pain 7 out of 10. And I did some sound on them, and the pain went down to 1.
Which, and you're using a tuning fork.
We're using a set of tuning forks, and we work off. Okay,
so I used to use a tuning fork to get like a tuning fork tuned to the note A to tune my violin back when I used to play the violin. Yeah, so you're using these same type of forks, and actually, what are you doing? Like striking them and then putting them in certain locations around the body?
Yes, we're doing that. Now, when you do this, the person feels lighter, the person feels more upright, most of the pain goes away. It can be used for emotional trauma. I mean, Ben, this stuff works. If it's done by the right person, it can save you years and years of agony and years of paying some practitioner money. You can actually release quite a lot of trauma with them. It's very quick. It's very efficient. It's super amazing. I mean, I remember doing a back pain show in London, and we got 3 people out of their wheelchair by doing sound therapy.
Now, a tuning fork is obviously something that somebody else would have to strike and be trained to know where to place it over the body. I've actually read a book called Tuning the Human Biofield that talks about this.
And yes.
I'll link to that book in the show notes. But what about music? Like what about if someone were to have like a special CD or something that would play those same frequencies? Would that work? Like if you were to put yourself next to like a big speaker that was playing that same sound, or does this have to be done with a tuning fork?
It has to be done with a tuning fork. I know it produces a binaural beat, and there's some CDs which claim to have binaural beats, but they don't seem to be that effective in treating pain. I've never seen pain disappearing. I've seen someone becoming more euphoric after listening to some good music. I think you and I probably feel better after we listen to some good music. But the fact that pain disappears within seconds of you hitting two tuning forks together of a certain frequency and doing a certain protocol, that has never happened with music. I like music. I've never seen this happening with music.
What's the proposed mechanism of action whereby a tuning fork would actually help with something like chronic pain?
So basically, your whole body vibrates at different frequencies. You know, your bones are vibrating at a different frequency, your hypothalamus, your pituitary gland, all the different organs and tissues in your body are vibrating to different frequencies. If you are using a C and a G fork, say, you know, the perfect fifth combination, you are working off body and you're first clearing all the static. The person feels very light. You're passing a frequency which the body recognizes and starts to realign itself. Cellular communication becomes much better. And when you use a specific fork of a particular frequency on a tissue that you want to be healed, it vibrates with that tissue in resonance and corrects it. So it's like playing one piano and the other piano start playing automatically. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah. Yep. So absolutely. Yeah.
And it is amazing.
I think that's one of the reasons why not only has music been shown to be one of the best ways to tone the vagus nerve and to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, and that's something that I go out of my way to do every day, to play a musical instrument or to sing, or even occasionally during I do Kundalini yoga and I'll chant sometimes, which can have a similar effect. Even gargling, interestingly, can have this effect. But then also there is there's this gentleman. And I met him a couple of weeks ago at a conference. His name is Michael Tyrell, and he produces CDs that are not digital CDs, because the way that digital music is produced is different than the way that analog music is produced. But they are CDs called whole tone CDs.
That's amazing.
And they're designed at specific hertz frequencies to target specific areas of the body. Like there's one CD for like the liver, there's one for the kidneys, but they're based off this fact that specific hertz frequencies produced in an analog signal, not a digital signal, can actually have this healing effect on the body. You just have to get like an old school CD and play the CD player in speakers surrounding your body. Have you heard of this guy or seen any of these whole tones music?
I've seen him at an exhibition. He's quite an interesting chap. I've even got some CDs. I'm sure they have some effect on your body. But like
I have a bunch of his CDs, but I don't have a CD player. So I have to buy I'm trying to buy a CD player now because all I've been doing is MP3s. And since I read his book, I realized that digital music is a lot different than analog music. Yes. And so now I'm interested in trying them out. But it's super duper interesting. I think a lot of people don't really realize what frequencies can do for the human body.
So when you do a tuning fork session, people who have fibromyalgia, ME, they feel much better. Considerably better with one session, which could last 10 minutes. People who have emotional, so panic attacks. I've seen a patient who was having a panic attack while I was doing the tuning fork session, and it totally calmed her down. It is absolutely amazing.
It's crazy. Sound frequency. So people could actually come to you there in London, and you would do like sound therapy sessions around them with the tuning fork.
I can actually send you a video on this. I don't know if your website has a video.
Yeah, no, I can embed the video. Send me the video about this, and then also send me the you were also going to send me, I believe, the location of that pressure point in the leg, and yes. I'll put both of those in the show notes for people. Now, another thing that you do, I know we're covering a lot of ground here, but another thing that you do is computerized health screening using what you say is EAV CDS, computerized health screening. What is that?
So basically what we do is, you're familiar with acupuncture points, they're hands and legs, and a bunch of acupuncture points combine together to form a meridian which pertains to a particular organ. So by actually passing current, because acupuncture points are the most conductive parts of your body, when you pass current through them, the current actually gets transmitted through the meridian to the pertaining organ and gives me an idea of the state of health. So 50 being an optimum reading, anything higher than 50 means inflammation, anything lower than 50 means degeneration or weakening. So you can actually see when an organ is in imbalance, and then you try and correct it by actually putting things within the circuit to see what will bring it back to 50. So you're actually getting the perfect remedy which will work in the meridian and correct the person's illness.
What does the EAD part of that stand for? What is the, I believe you said it's called, was it EAV or EED?
EAV, so it's electroacupuncture according to Vol. So Dr. Vol was the man who actually started this system.
Okay, gotcha. And have there actually been any studies done on this type of computerized health screening?
There is some studies, yes.
Okay, gotcha. So walk me through how this would work. You would arrive, and do you actually get hooked up to some type of electrode or something like that?
You would hold an electrode to complete the circuit in your left hand, and I would use a probe and check your acupuncture point. So it's non-invasive, really. You're not putting a needle in. You're literally passing current, which you can't feel. It's a very low voltage current, and you are going through different acupuncture points, taking some readings. That will give you the overall health of the person, you know, in terms of their meridian. You will then work with the meridian, which is a priority, and try and balance that. And in the process, you will end up balancing the whole person. The person gets better. I mean, we're talking about, in my clinic, we don't get people with irritable bowel. We get people with Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, cancer, MS, ME, migraines, which are like unbelievable. You know, people who've got ALS, people who've got Lou Gehrig's, people who've got Marie Charcot tooth syndrome, people with various, very serious conditions. I'm not talking about someone who's got a little sprain. That takes 5 minutes, and usually we send them packing after we've pressed a couple of points, and they're happy.
Can you give me an example of how this would work? Like, let's say somebody comes to you, and they have, let's say something like Crohn's, like you mentioned. How exactly would this work? So they've got a probe, you're testing for a meridian, but then what happens after that?
So you would check all the points, you would get the readings, and if they've got Crohn's, it's likely that in their large or small intestine, they will have a reading which is slightly abnormal, either with a drop or with a high inflammation or degeneration. You will then put various homeopathic or homotoxicology remedies on the plate, which forms part of the circuit, and you will try and balance that to 50. So say if you've got a reading of 70, you want something which will bring the reading back to 50. And this, by the way, is reproducible. So it's not something which is a kinesiology-based thing. You will then put various remedies. So, for example, I would try remedies like a no-sod of Jones disease, which is a disease that cows have, which can then is known to cause Crohn's in some individuals. You would use various bacteria to see, because this has been offset by something. You would then find what is balancing it, and that's the product you would give. So even if you used allopathic remedies, you would find the brand which is going to be most suitable. You would have often heard people in the past telling you that one particular brand of Tylenol or one particular brand of ibuprofen works better than the other for them. This is the reason. Every brand is different.
So if I had something like headaches and I want to get a computerized health screening to find out if that was due to, say, like a kidney issue or a cervical spine issue or a liver issue or large intestine issue, you would do something like this computerized screening, and it would spit out a number for each specific area of my body, so you could then identify which part of my body would be causing me to feel crappy.
Yes, and then you would balance that part, and that combination of balance you would give to the individual, and they'll feel better.
Are you the only person that does this, or is there some kind of like a network of practitioners that people could look up if they didn't want to come to London?
There are people who do this. Now, we're the only ones who use a certain set of nosodes, which comes from Germany, which actually is made from diseased tissues, which actually treats illnesses.
What did you call them?
Nosodes. So they're made of diseased tissues, made in a homeopathic potency. That will tell you what the problem is.
Interesting. I've never heard of these before, these nosodes. So these nosodes are something that are used as like a homeopathic treatment.
Yes.
Okay.
You use it. It's very effective. There are loads of illnesses.
You know, I think these used in some cases as an alternative to vaccination?
They can be, yes.
Okay. Interesting. So you went through this computerized health screening like a training to learn how to do this.
Because it came from Germany, I learned from four different people because the interpretation, the translation is very different. So because I have a little bit of a OCD aspect to my my clinic, I want to make sure that everything is working properly. I learned from four different people and then changed it to suit what I felt was right, and it works.
Okay, gotcha. A few other questions for you. You also do something called cranial laser reflex technique. What is that?
We use a low light laser and we use it on the cranium, on the head, on reflex points. So this would be ideal for joint and structural issues. So for example, if someone's got one leg longer than the other slightly, I'm not talking about a big variation, you can use the low light laser on the back of the head in the occipital region. And you can correct that, and it gets corrected within seconds. It's pretty good. You can use it for diagnostic purposes to see whether someone's got sciatica or piriformis syndrome or various other things. You can even correct it.
Is that because nerves from the head are going to travel down to the rest of the body, and so you're treating the nerves in the head to affect those that the central nervous system might be affecting farther down in the body?
That's perfect. That's right.
Okay, gotcha. Have you ever experimented with things like? Very similar to that, like intranasal light therapy or intranasal laser therapy?
Yeah, they use that for hay fever. They use a red light, and it's a product which is made in Israel, and they put it up the nose, and they emit a certain light, and it helps with hay fever. But, I mean, it's all helpful.
It helps with more of that, actually. I do quite a bit of airline travel, which can cause a lot of free radical production, and one of the things that it can also induce is low level of mitochondrial activity.
Yes.
Especially in neural tissue. And so I use like a low level light therapy at about, it's called a Vi-light. It shines light at about 810 nanometers up into my nose. And I'll do that like after an airline flight. I've been doing it every morning now, and it's amazing. Night and day difference in terms of the way you feel as far as clear headedness after you shine this thing up your nose for about 25 minutes.
Definitely. I haven't used Vi-light, but I've used something for hay fever, and I find them quite effective. They're pretty good.
Interesting. What would you say when it comes to specifically people who we have a lot of listeners who are active, who work out a lot, who tend to deal with nagging aches, pains, joint injuries, things along those lines. If there's anything that we haven't talked about yet that you would say would be something that flies under the radar when it comes to treating things like aches in joints or soft tissue injuries, things that a lot of sports medicine physicians might not currently be using, what would be another tool in your toolbox that you think flies under the radar that a lot of people don't know about?
Okay. Then the best thing which has ever happened to me is the Raj method. So this is something which I came across when I went on holiday to a Canary island called Fuerteventura, where I had a massage. And the lady who was massaging me started using her elbows to massage me because I wanted a deep tissue massage. And when she pressed a certain point on my leg, on my thigh, I felt as if my gallbladder sphincter had opened and was releasing bile. It's quite a weird effect. And I started looking at these points and started trying to understand how the human body and blood works and flows. So I bought some old textbooks for anatomy and physiology, and I started looking at how the blood circulatory patterns work. I then came across a great app called the 3D4 Medical app, which is, I think is available on Apple, and that is so clear. You can see the circulatory pathways very clearly in that. And so what we developed is a method of pressing certain parts of your bodies, not acupressure, not massage, but actually stopping the circulation for a split second, which then passes blood into an organ or tissue and corrects the illness or the problem. This can treat almost anything. I have treated people with epilepsy. I've treated people with, transverse myelitis. I've treated people with post-stroke paralysis. I've treated people with all very many conditions. I mean, joint aches and sprains, that's a walk in the park. That's easy. That's very easy.
How is this any different than like acupressure?
Acupressure, you're working on acupuncture points. This, you are actually stopping the circulation for a split second. So have you ever played with a hose pipe, Ben? When you hold the end of a hose pipe, it creates so much back pressure that the pipe wants to come out from the tap. So using the same principle, if you hold a certain area down and you stop the circulation for a few seconds, that circulation has to go to a different organ or tissue. That an organ or tissue, when it's devoid of circulation or nervous intervention, is why it starts to play up. So it's very important to realize this. When you actually stop the circulation in a certain place, you are feeding a different organ or tissue with blood and all the nutrients and all the cytokines, anti-inflammatories, and everything that the body needs to heal go to that organ, and it corrects it. So, for example, when we do some points on the toes, on the feet, we are able to correct IBS and certain conditions within seconds, literally a few minutes, and the person's stomach is back to normal. We can stop diarrhea, we can stop the frequency, we can open valves, we can increase stomach acid using it, we can do loads and loads of things.
And you call this Raj therapy, R-A-G therapy?
The Raj method, yes.
The Raj method. And you're the only person that does it?
Yes, I'm the only person who does it. I'm going to teach this in summer, yeah. I'm slowly starting to prepare a course because it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it actually sounds like something I'd like to learn. It sounds super interesting. So at this point, though, if people wanted to get something like that done, they would have to come to your clinic there in London.
Yeah, so what I'm planning to do, because I know there are people all over the place, is actually create videos, which will then go on my website when it's eventually ready, and they'll just be able to log on and say, okay, I've got gout, or I've got high blood pressure, or I've got high cholesterol, or I've got high triglycerides, or I've got a backache or a slip disc, or I've got pain in my lower part of my feet, or I've got a headache, or I've got diarrhea, or I've got an infection in my urinary system, and you would have the video.
Interesting. Interesting. Wow. This is really fascinating stuff. I've been taking a lot of notes, and for those of you listening in, you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Raj. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/RAG to dig into some of the stuff that we've talked about, everything from the Great American Olive Oil Hoax to the Essiac Therapy for Cancer to some of these books like Tuning the Human Biofill and the Homotoxicology book that we talked about, and also Dr. Raj's website, which I believe is it sainutrition.com?
Yes. It's still on a construction page. We've got a website ready, Ben, but in the UK, we cannot make any claims like we cure, treat, heal. So we can't write any of that on a website. So we have to have people who actually have a way of writing, a skill of writing, to write down the spiel for us. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want your pants sewed off. And you also, by the way, you've done some work with the Vatican. Is that correct?
Yes, we have. Through this work. So basically, when I went to Africa, we treated some people in a village where there's malaria, chikungunya, and some very serious illnesses like hepatitis. And we managed to press point. So I had no tools. I just had my hands and I had huts and a floor. And basically I treated a whole lot of people there. And someone from the church videoed me and obviously sent the video to the Vatican, who then invited me to go there and treat a very special person.
Interesting. Wow. That's fascinating. So you've actually worked with the Vatican. What about Oman? Someone told me that you also have done some work with Oman, the district down by Dubai.
Yeah. So we do a lot of work with lots of dignitaries. We do a lot of work with heads of states. We do a lot of work for various celebrities, footballers, professional coaches, and all sorts of people. These people are getting to know by word of mouth. So Ben, if two people have told you today, go to Raj, and then next week you meet someone on the street and you say, I have a backache, and he says, I know some chap, go and see him, and it happens to be Raj. slowly it is going to go into your frontal cortex that I need to go and see this person. And that's exactly how we get our work. We have built our work based on results.
I want to come in and see you. I want to come back to London. I just left London, but I'll have to, I don't really necessarily have any huge nagging aches or pains right now, but what you're doing sounds absolutely fascinating. So I may have to go back to London sooner rather than later to check it out. But in the meantime, thanks for coming on the show and sharing some of this stuff with our listeners.
No, it's a pleasure. I hope they get some benefit out of it.
Yeah, I hope so too. We may just have caused people to buy a bunch of plane tickets to London, though. Unfortunately, you got to get that YouTube channel up to show us this Raj method. But in the meantime, folks, if you're listening in, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Raj to check this out. Or you can go to the show notes. If you go to the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Raj, that's R-A-J, then you can leave your comments, you can leave your questions, you can leave your feedback, and I'll be happy to jump in and reply and hopefully help point you in the right direction. So in the meantime, Raj, I would imagine you probably have some eggs and some non-arsenic containing rice to go eat. So I'll let you go, but thanks again for coming on the show and for
it's a pleasure.
For your time today.
You've enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you, Ben, when you arrive.
All right, folks. Well, this is Ben Greenfield and Dr. Raj Basu signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have a healthy week, and Raj, I'll talk to you later, man.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Take care.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.